I know everyone has memories of cracking open some wonderful pistachios. I used to always throw a bag of the classic roasted, salted, wonderful pistachios in the cart when I was grocery shopping growing up. And I remember always having a bowl going in the kitchen while cracking them open. Roasted Salted is still my classic, but recently I've been trying all the flavors, and I must say, even though I love in-shell pistachios for the activity of cracking them open, Wonderful Pistachios, no shell, salt and vinegar might just be my new favorite.
Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. There's 6 grams of protein per 1 ounce serving. That's packing a protein punch. Chili roasted, honey roasted, sea salt and pepper, jalapeno lime. There are so many flavors to try out, and Wonderful Pistachios has become one of my favorite snacks recently. I need my snacks to be a good source of protein, and I love when I can eat snacks with my hands. It's easy, it's fun. What more can you ask for?
I also really like using the no-shell pistachios from Wonderful Pistachios to put on salads or rice bowls. Spring and summer salads are going to be so good. I can't wait to add the jalapeno lime ones to a fresh salad, and I've been using the chili roasted flavor on top of rice bowls recently. Visit wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more and find out where you can get Wonderful Pistachios near you. The weather is getting warmer here in Boston, finally, and I'm sure wherever you are in the world, you guys experience the same thing. The second the sun comes out, the second it gets warm, everyone says goodbye to jackets and sweaters and starts wearing spring and summer fits for the rest of time. I don't care if it gets rainy. I don't care if it gets colder again. I'm in spring and summer fits because I'm standing in my power. And I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul this year because it just felt fitting with a new era. And obviously, I want high quality pieces, but I don't want to spend a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince, and now I have a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year. Because these are high quality pieces, they're staying in my wardrobe. The best part is that all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands, and they even show you on the website how much you're saving, which is awesome. Quince partners directly with top factories, cutting out the costs of the middleman and passes those savings on to us. I recently got a really, really nice linen set of like pants and a short sleeve button up, both in white linen, which is awesome. And I know they're going to be my staple all spring and all summer. So get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/goals for free shipping on your order and 365 day returns. Quince.com/goals to get free shipping and 365 day returns. Quince.com/goals. All right, guys, we are here with Carolina Salazar. If you have been a listener to the podcast for a while, Carolina has actually been on Girls with Goals before, and we're so excited to have her back. She's an incredible content creator, and she is also a certified hormone specialist, correct?
Yes.
Yay. Okay, so last time we had her on, we talked a lot about manifestation, a little more spirituality, and now we're really excited to dive into hormone health, cycle syncing, and kind of giving Catherine and I like the 101 with that.
Right,
as
I'm
well.
Here to learn. So
I really am at the same time as we do that with you. And I'm so excited. I loved recording with Carolina last time. I literally like left that interview feeling like I learned so much from her and had so many like little things that I wanted to implement into my life. And so I'm sure that this will be the same for us and for you guys.
That if you guys do want to go back to that episode, we'll link it below as well. If you want to get both the Carolina episodes in your ears, but.
Thank you guys for having me again. I'm so excited. I love recording with you all, and I'm so honored. That was so kind.
Of course, of course. Do you have anything else that you want to say about yourself before we
do a little intro for the people who
have should I do a little intro?
Last episode.
So if you guys did not tune into the previous episode, I'm Carolina. I am based in New York. I have been doing content creation for 2 years now. So I started in May of 2020. So with my approach to content, I like to bring a really holistic approach, and I like to empower women to look at their health from all angles. So not only from food and nutrition, which is so important, but also taking into account their mindset and their relationships and their spirituality and their connection to themselves and to something greater. So I just bring that lens to everything that I do. I work one-on-one with people. I am a holistic health coach and a hormone specialist. And yeah, that's about it.
Awesome. Yeah, I love Carolina's approach to health. And I think you guys were super aligned with it as well. So getting into hormone health in particular, and is your interest in hormone health and your certification, is that more recent? Or is this something that you've been building for a long time?
It is a little bit more recent, but it was kind of intertwined with everything because my relationship to my body and to like specifically my cycle has been kind of evolving for the last 2 years. But in terms of like really diving in as deep as I can, learning a lot has been a lot more in 2022. So basically this whole year.
Yeah. I feel like it has picked up an interest for a lot of people as well.
Yes, which is for cool. sure.
So for sure. Hormone health in general, what is it and why do you think that it's important for females to understand hormone health?
Yeah, for sure. Hormones are so important. Our body has so many different hormones. And basically, the way that the endocrine system works is it's made up of a lock and key system. So hormones basically are like the key that activates a bunch of different locks in our body. So there are so many hormones, so many different things that hormones do in our body. So understanding our hormones is important because a lot of issues that people experience, whether it be like skin issues or gut issues or not being able to lose weight, not seeing progress in the gym, like a lot of the times that can really tie back to your hormones. Even things like not being able to sleep through the night, or of course there's, you know, interrelations with our cycle too, like having irregular cycles, not having a period at all, not being able to get pregnant. Like there's literally so many different ways that hormones play a part in our life. And so understanding your hormone health is important because it can help you alleviate some of these really uncomfortable symptoms that like you might have tried a bunch of other different things before to take care of it or to take care of those symptoms and it's just not working. So looking at your hormones can kind of give you more insight into that.
And what would understanding hormone health look like? Is it understanding kind of like how hormones work in general, or would it be kind of diving into like more testing to know specifically what's going on with your body?
Depends, both. So testing is probably the most transparent approach. Like if you want to know exactly what's happening with your own body, you can get a specific blood test, or there's also urine tests and saliva tests, and like you can do these more advanced tests, especially the urine and saliva ones. Like there are certain hormones that you can't really check with blood, so those are best done in the other tests. Like for example, if you want to test your cortisol levels, you have to do a urine test. Like so there are certain things that are better.
I feel like that's a big one too to be aware of.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's cortisols are stress hormones. So if you want to understand like if you're having chronic stress and how it's playing a part in your life, you have to do kind of like a day long urine test where you take your urine kind of a couple of hours, mm-hmm. and then you're able to see how your cortisol curve is kind of playing out. So the testing is very helpful. There's different ways you can get tested. Sometimes traditional doctors are a little bit more resistant to doing those tests. So you have to come to your doctor kind of informed and with the knowledge about the hormones so you can say like, hey, I'm experiencing this, this, and this. I did my research. Here's why it's important. Can you please order this test for me? And if the doctor is really resistant, then there's still ways for you to do it out of pocket or finding other ways that aren't necessarily so expensive, but it's an investment in just knowing that information. And then the other way is also just through a health history, through understanding like everything that you're experiencing, your lifestyle, the symptoms you're experiencing. And then a lot of the times, someone who has a knowledge of hormones, like a hormone specialist or a nutritionist, can then help you basically spot what could be underlying. And then if you have the hormone testing, then you can have that layer of information that can help your hormone specialist basically help you even more.
Wait, out of curiosity, have you done any of these tests? And like,
I've done blood tests before to test my hormones, but I literally completed my certification pretty recently, even though I've been doing it for a couple of months. So now I have this awareness of like the different kinds of tests that you can do, even for like thyroid hormones or for like certain hormones that affect your period. Mm-hmm. Most typical blood tests don't include those things. So you have to know what to ask for.
Yeah. So how did you figure those things out on your own?
How did I figure out like my...
Like what tests you want to take and what information you want to know? Or I guess I'm kind of thinking like in terms of balancing your own hormone health and like taking strides to improve it, like what are the things that you did without kind of knowing that information?
Yes. Right? So like how did I implement hormone health principles into my life without the testing, right? Yeah. So I can give a little bit more context into like how I got into this. Reason I got into cycle syncing and into hormone health was because I had a very irregular cycle. So before I even got on birth control, my cycle was so irregular. Like I would go months without having a period. I was very disconnected from it. I mean, this was in high school, so it was a while ago. And then I lost my period because I was struggling with an eating disorder mm-hmm. back then. I went to my gynecologist and I was like, let me just put a Band-Aid on this, slap a Band-Aid on this problem, and let's go on birth control. So I asked my gynecologist to put me on birth control, and I, in my mind, was like, it's going to help me get my period back. It's going to help regulate my cycle. I didn't know anything. I had not done any research. It was just kind of what I had heard about from people. So that's what I thought was going to happen. I didn't even know that when you are in birth control, you don't ovulate, you don't have a real period. So it wasn't really doing anything back then. So just that's some context. I ended up going on birth control. I was on that. Then I switched to an IUD. And when I was in the IUD was when I first heard about cycle syncing. And the way that I learned about it was honestly because of TikTok, like girls talking about how they went off of birth control, how much better they felt, how they were aligning their business and their like daily lives with their cycle, and they were mm-hmm. feeling more connected to their feminine. And I was like, this is so cool. I want to be able to experience that. I don't feel connected to my body in this way. So that was the first light bulb moment. I remember this was around fall of 2020. So basically 2 years ago. Fast forward, I end up going off of the IUD, but I'm in a long-term relationship. And at that point, it was still pretty early in our relationship. And we were just kind of like, oh, we don't want to have to wear condoms. Like, we were just kind of like annoyed at the whole thing. It was just like harder to know, like, should we be wearing condoms all the time? Like, I didn't have as much information. So I ended up going back on the pill. Yeah, so okay. I go back on the pill. I was on the pill for like 4 or 5 more months. And then in March of 2021 was when I was like, I'm ready. I'm so emotional. I'm experiencing all these uncomfortable symptoms. I just kind of want to go off of it and regulate my period and like get my period back for good. That said, like, I basically had been off. I had not been off of birth control for a super long time. As I mentioned before, my period used to be very irregular. So when I went off of it, it was kind of cold turkey. I didn't have support. I didn't have as much information. I kind of had a vague idea of what cycle syncing was, but I felt really lost. Like, I was so confused on what to do. How do I know if I'm ovulating? How do I know if I should be wearing a condom? How do I get my cycle to be regular? I was trying to consume random pieces of content on TikTok, but I still felt really confused. And so I spent quite a few months just in this lost mode. Like, in terms of my relationship, we just were using condoms pretty much always. And then when it came to the rest, I wasn't really doing anything differently. And I still was having a very irregular cycle because it takes your body also some time to adjust. But I was just having cycle lengths of 50 days, other cycle lengths of 12 or 20 days.
Okay, yeah.
So it was very, very weird. And I didn't know anything. Like, I was just stressed. And so eventually I kind of reached a point where I was like, I just need to go and learn as much as I can. So the first book that I came in contact with that kind of changed everything for me was the book Period Power. So I read that book and then I just kind of started going into a really big deep dive. So really learning everything I could about the cycle phases, the hormones, just everything. Mm-hmm. And then I started making some lifestyle switches, which we can dive into, which is more like what I started doing to support my body. And once I started doing that, then everything kind of started to change. And I can proudly report that my cycle is completely regular at this point. Like, today when we're recording, I'm on my period and this cycle was 31 days. So very, very healthy cycle length. The normal cycle length is 28 to 35 days. So So yeah, that's kind of like my journey with it. And then eventually I was like, I want to learn as much as I can. So I decided to go do the certification, which is how I now know even more about all the hormones, not just the ones that affect our cycle, but just how the whole body works, different ways to spot, like if you have certain hormones that are basically out of whack and the true things that impact your hormones. So I can dive into that a little bit, like what actually makes a difference. Right? Because there's a lot out there that can feel very confusing. So I try as much as possible whenever I can to simplify things so that they're super approachable, grounded, and just like easy to implement. So when it really comes down to it, the main things that impact your hormones are your diet. Mm-hmm. So the foods that you're eating, like the quality of the foods that you're eating, how frequently you're eating, like all of that. Your sleep matters a lot. Also, just that kind of ties into stress. Mm-hmm. So your cortisol and just the different things that affect your stress levels. And then also your gut. Like your gut health is really, really important. And I'm trying to think. Oh, and then the last thing that's really important too is something called endocrine disruptors and your awareness of them in your life. So endocrine disruptors are basically substances that and chemicals that can be like in your cosmetics, in your household products, in like different objects that you use, like the containers you store your food, stuff like that, the pans that you use, and that can affect your hormones. And especially if you're using them in large quantities. Yeah. So we can dive into each of those if you guys want. I can kind of give overall tips, but I can talk about that. And then I can also give a little bit more context into the cycle syncing, how all of that really works. And then the things that help me regulate my cycle in particular.
Yeah. No, that's honestly like perfect. I love that outline. I'm so curious myself because my period has been very irregular, like my whole life, like probably honestly like similar journey to you, like was on the pill, not regular, then like had more disordered eating, like underweight, totally gone, then went off the pill, not regular, IUD. And so like very similar, whereas now I feel like it's becoming a like much more regular and consistent, but I don't feel like I understand it very well.
Yes. Totally. Thank you for sharing that. And I think that a lot of girls, like if you struggle with an irregular cycle, it sucks. Like I honestly thought for so long that my cycle was always going to be irregular. Mm-hmm. Like I didn't believe that it was possible to get it to be regular until I actually experienced the change. So there's hope if anyone listening is struggling with that.
Yeah.
But diving into food a little bit, one of the most important things when it comes to food is blood sugar balance. The reason for that is because one of the hormones in our body that relates to blood sugar is called insulin. So insulin is basically produced whenever your blood sugar goes up. So when glucose, which is a level of sugar in your blood, increases, insulin is created or secreted to reduce your glucose and to balance your blood sugar. And what happens is that a lot of us, when we're eating quantity of food that has a lot of glucose, or like let's say you're eating something really sugary on an empty stomach, boom, your insulin spikes, and then you have this blood sugar spike, and then your blood sugar spikes, insulin spikes, and then your like blood sugar curve just looks like a roller coaster.
Okay.
And the thing is that when your blood sugar goes up really high, it also has a very, very steep fall.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why then like maybe you would eat something and then very closely after, like immediately after, you would get hungry again.
Okay.
For very little bit of time after.
Mm-hmm.
So the benefit of balancing your blood sugar is that you balance your insulin. And that means that you improve your energy, you improve like how you feel throughout the day, you reduce your fatigue, you are also able to reach fitness goals more like quickly. Mm-hmm. And all of that. So the key to blood sugar balance is fiber. Eating enough fiber is really, really important, making sure that's in every single meal. So fiber can come from many different sources, but primarily like the easiest way to have fiber in your diet is through vegetables. Mm-hmm. Just like making sure that you're eating a salad, like an arugula salad, or having arugula with your food, or like adding in any vegetable, like broccoli, Brussels sprouts, green peas, mm-hmm. like it doesn't matter, like anything that's a vegetable pretty much has fiber. Other things that have fiber are grains like rice, oats, that kind of stuff. Some seeds have a lot of fiber, like chia seeds, that kind of stuff. And then beans are also very, very full of fiber. Like they're probably the most fiber filled food that exists
mm-hmm.
in the world. So fiber is essential, and a lot of Americans, just people in the world, do not have enough fiber in their diet.
Yes.
And a typical American diet is a source of those blood sugar spikes. Mm-hmm. So that's the first thing, like making sure that you have fiber, and then making sure that you balance all the macronutrients. So making sure you have high quality protein in your food, like the quality of the protein that you're eating, which means if you're going to eat meat, aim for eating grass-fed.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to eat any like dairy, aim for it to be organic, or for eggs, for example, have it be pasture raised. Like these little things ensure higher quality of the ingredients,
mm-hmm.
because if we're constantly eating animal products that were fed hormones, mm-hmm. that's also not the best.
Yeah.
So protein is super important, and then healthy fats are also essential. So avocado, nuts and seeds, a little bit of olive oil, like cooking with olive oil, that kind of stuff. So having all of them, like having the fibrous carbs, having the protein, having the healthy fats is going to help your blood sugar not spike, because protein and fats, they take longer, and fiber take longer to be digested.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're eating like something that has more glucose, like let's say you're eating like a sweet potato or something like that, or if you're drinking a juice, like try not to eat that or drink that in an empty stomach. Like okay. That's one of the biggest things when it comes to nutrition. And I think especially related to cycle syncing, so many people, like, let me know if you guys feel this, like so many people think like, oh my God, but I have to eat this one food in this part of my cycle for my cycle to be regular. Like I used to think that
mm-hmm.
when I started learning about cycle syncing, mm-hmm. and I just realized that it's so much more about how you're eating. Like, how are you balancing your plate? Are you having a balanced meal, or are you eating a meal that's just carbs? Like, uh-huh. if you do that, like, it's probably you're going to have more blood sugar spikes.
Mm-hmm.
Carbs are amazing. I love carbs. But if you're going to eat a carb, it's just better if you try to eat it, if it's like a bigger meal, with a little bit of protein or healthy fats.
Yeah. I feel like that goes for so many things, even beside like beyond hormone balancing too, just with the like macronutrient, micronutrient balance as well. It just goes so far. I feel like once you get into this stuff, everything is interconnected, and it may seem overwhelming when you get into, like you said, tell me if you agree with this. I can't tell you if I agree with it or not, because I don't know enough to like have a stance on how I eat during cycle syncing. Like I simply don't know enough. That's so much information that I haven't even begun to decipher. But once you get into it, you realize how many connections there are, and how it's not that overwhelming once you actually, once you get over that kind of initial chunk of information. But
yeah, exactly. And I think that's what like most people feel. It's just overwhelm mm-hmm. and lack of education around this. Yes. Like,
that's
lack
why
of
I like
knowledge.
Your simplification style with this.
Yeah. Yeah. So balanced meals, getting all of the macronutrients in, fiber through specifically vegetables, beans are high in fiber, grains, and then as well as looking for higher quality sources of protein. When you were saying like organic, more organic like dairies and things like that, what about like fruits and vegetables? Do you think that it matters in that sense as well?
I think organic, what it really means is that it basically doesn't have pesticide residue, mainly in the food, or that they were just not raised with any pesticides. And pesticides are one of those endocrine disruptors that I mentioned. Like, they are things that can disrupt your hormones if they end up in your bloodstream or in your body. So that's why like organic in general is like better, but it's not accessible to everyone. Like it can get really expensive if you're paying for everything organic. So if you are trying to aim for organic, just aim for eating the Dirty Dozen organic. So looking up Dirty Dozen on Google, you'll see that there's this list that's released by EWG every year. And it's basically the foods that have the highest amount of pesticides. So out of that list, the things that I know for off the top of my head, tomatoes. I never buy tomatoes that are not organic.
Right.
Also apples, strawberries, like think of a strawberry, like it's so like if you put strawberry in like water, it's gonna soak it up, right? Like it like soaks up everything. So strawberries are like top of mind, and then also spinach. Those are just things like I always buy organic.
Okay.
And red pepper, like any bell peppers also. But it's a very short list. It's just 12 things. There's other things in there like celery, cherries, peaches, I think collard greens, maybe I'm missing a couple, but look it up, because that it's a relatively short list. And if you want to not buy everything organic, just buy those things organic.
Cool. Okay, great. Yeah. That was the diet element of cycle syncing or just supporting your hormone health. What would be the next step? Sleep is what
Yeah, I think sleep is like a key one. So the reason why sleep is so important is because if you're lacking sleep, one, that has been shown, like there's been lots of studies that have shown that sleep deprived individuals were the most likely to not reach their fitness goals as quickly or to like store, I guess, like extra fat in their body. If they're like, if that's their goal is like building muscle and like losing fat, for example, that becomes a lot more challenging if you're not sleeping enough. And also when your body's sleeping, you're literally like healing, like your body's basically detoxifying like things. It's kind of like repairing itself. So I think our society like demonizes sleep sometimes. It's like, sometimes it's like, you don't need sleep. Sleep is for the weak, like whatever. Didn't barely slept last night. Haha, running on like 2 hours of sleep and 3 coffees. Like, oh my God, like it's so normalized. And so it's something I'm personally working on always. I just got the Oura ring and it tells you like your
sleep. Yes, I was going to bring that up. Because I know that I've been getting so many ads for like their little cycle syncing, you know, part of the Oura ring. I used to have a ring that I wore because I loved it, but I don't wear it anymore.
I just got it.
It makes me want to get one again.
It's really cool. I just got it literally like 3 days ago. And so I've been looking at the data because it will show you like how much deep sleep did you get? Like how many hours did you sleep? Like last night, I laid in bed at like 9:30 maybe, which is early for me, very early, because I had to wake up at 6 a.m. today. So I laid in bed at like 9:30. I read, I had my tea. I think I probably like turned off the lights by like 10:40. And I literally didn't even get 7 hours of sleep, like according to my Oura ring. Like it was close and I had a pretty good sleeping score, but you have to get at least set. Like I always aim for 7, and having the data now, I'm like, okay, I have to be extra mindful of the, like my sleep habits. Yeah. So that's super important. And then the other thing is also like, we're young. Like that's something else I want to acknowledge too. It's like when you're in your college years or when you're in your 20s, like fun is also an element. So aim for progress, not perfection. Like you don't have to like be so strict and be like, I'm never gonna go out and I'm never gonna go out like do anything fun because I have to sleep like this much. Like if you're going out, like just prioritize sleeping in a little bit more the next day if you can, especially because like when we drink alcohol, that's extra burden on our liver. So just like detoxifying that alcohol is important. Or in general, if you just go out later, you're putting your body through a little bit more quote unquote stress because you're awake for more hours. So just repairing that with the sleep is important. So finding the right balance, like there's no recipe here for like right or wrong. And really with anything that we're talking about, there's just principles that I try to live by. So sleep is something that I've been trying to prioritize more. And the thing that can help a lot of people if you struggle to fall asleep or to get enough sleep is having a little night ritual. Do you guys like have any night rituals or night rituals?
The number of times I have tried to like start a nighttime routine, and it doesn't matter if it's a two-step or like a 10-step routine, I feel like I front load all my stuff. Like I have a solid, my morning routine, it's like wake up, clean my room, like get ready, go to the gym, cook breakfast, like get my shit together, go through the day. And then by nighttime, I've number one done everything I wanted to do because I'm just like a morning person in general. And I feel like we talked about this in the last episode too, for sure. But I just, when I'm going to sleep, like I'm going to sleep, I have 2 steps or brush my teeth and like go to bed. And that's all I can handle.
Are you able to sleep relatively quickly?
No. I know I do struggle with that for sure. Like you were saying, the number of times I get in bed and then can't sleep and check my phone, it's like way later than it should be. And then I haven't been doing anything. I just can't fall asleep. Mm-hmm. But
I've been a lot better, honestly, recently, like this school year with a night routine. I've been like in bed. I have like a little Google thing next to my bed. I play chill music. I journal or I read. I usually try to do like one or the other before I go to sleep. So I've been a little bit better about a nighttime routine. And honestly, like I've been feeling so good because of it, because I wake up earlier and then I have a better day. And it's like, I've really been dedicating my nights. Like I'm not doing any work after dinner is kind of like a boundary for myself. Is trying to like get everything done. I'm like, I have enough time during the day to get done what I have to get done. There's no reason for me to be like working or stressed after dinner. So that's like my wind down time. I've been pretty good about it.
Do you want to learn a new language? Maybe for an upcoming trip, maybe to better connect with friends who speak other languages. Maybe you just want a new skill. Rosetta Stone is going to help get you there. When talking about Rosetta Stone, I always think about when we were maybe 5 years old and our dad started traveling to China for work. He used Rosetta Stone for Mandarin, and obviously Caroline and I would use it too, especially when we found out that we were going to move to Asia. That is such a core memory for me, and I can so vividly remember speaking into the computer, listening to the audio, and like matching it so vividly. And the best thing about Rosetta Stone is that Rosetta Stone offers a lifetime membership. So you can buy the program now and get forever access to all the lessons, all the languages, forever. So I've been using this lifetime membership to pick back up my Mandarin, and let me tell you, Rosetta Stone is incredible. The way that it is so immersive has me back to being confident in my Mandarin so quickly, and you can even start from scratch. Of course, they have 25 languages to learn, and it's immersive. You learn it naturally, and you should definitely check it out. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Girls with Goals listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
When you have big goals and a busy schedule, like all Girls with Goals listeners do, because that is exactly why we are here, it can be so difficult to actually find time for wellness. Even though it's a core value for all of us, small wellness habits can easily be buried by everything we have going on. This is why we have Fleur Marché. Fleur Marché delivers simple, quality, affordable wellness solutions for life's daily challenges. It's founded by women and inspired by the female dreamers, hustlers, and activists on the front lines of change, and their mission is to help you feel 100% every single day with fun and easy-to-understand plant-powered wellness products. Caroline and I have both been using the Fleur Marché Botanical Wellness Patches and have really, really enjoyed them because they're so easy and honestly so cool. They're different than a lot of the products I've used in the past for sleep, relaxation, focus, and relief, which are just some of the patches that Fleur Marché offers. Because they're both effective and fun, I think that's why I've been more intentional about this wellness habit with Fleur Marché, because I actually enjoy using the patches. So go check out all the patches and all the products that Fleur Marché has for you and try them for yourself. Find your new wellness essentials at fleurmarché.com and get special discount just for our listeners. Get 20% off your first order site-wide with the promo code GOALS at checkout. Go to fleurmarché.com and use code GOALS for 20% off your first order.
Yes.
I have been taking magnesium, but like before I go to sleep, because I used to take it. I think it helps with my stomach as well. Yes. And obviously sleep. So
that's I'm a magnesium stan. I love magnesium also.
I used to take it when I was little, because I had like, when I was like 7, I had a naturopath for like stomach issues. And I was like, I need to get back into this. Like, let me go to my naturopath.
No, magnesium is, she's a rock star. I love magnesium. But I mean, everything you said, Caroline, is like so on point. It's like, if I was going to tell anyone like what to do for their night routine, like that sounds basically in line with what I would suggest. Like, you know, wind down, like avoid doing any stressful work really late at night, and choose like one ritual, like whether it's reading or or journaling or like making some tea. I love making tea at night. It really relaxes me. I love dandelion tea, especially. I'll just like make my tea. This is, again, progress over perfection. There are some days where it just doesn't happen, but most days, the more I do that, the better. And then if you struggle with falling asleep, my biggest tips are don't drink caffeine before 2 p.m. after 2 p.m. Because caffeine like takes at least like 8 hours to be completely like not as stimulating to your body. So that's why 2 p.m. is a good like cutoff time. And then the other thing is also, overall, like if your body is under a lot of stress or if you're under a lot of emotional or mental stress, cortisol and melatonin have opposite curves, on opposite, like inverse relationships. So if your cortisol is high, you like, or if your cortisol is out of balance, your body doesn't produce as much melatonin.
Okay.
So like when your cortisol curve is like when you wake up, your cortisol is the highest and then it kind of dips over the day. And then as cortisol dips, melatonin rises. That's why normally, like when you get to the end of the day, like if your curves are okay and like your cortisol levels are pretty in range, then you would get sleepier or tired towards the nighttime usually.
Yeah.
But one thing that I feel like really affects my sleep if I'm doing this is scrolling later at night.
Yeah.
So if I'm like, this is like the number one thing, like to simplify, I would say like, if you can stop scrolling on your phone by like 9:30 or 10 p.m. Like if you can just put your phone away or set up the like night mode or put do not disturb at a certain hour,
yeah,
that's already gonna help so much. Because whenever I scroll at least like 30 minutes, within 30 minutes of laying in bed, I'm thinking a lot more. I'm like thinking about what I was scrolling and seeing on my phone, or like if I'm seeing my emails and I'm thinking about what I have to get done the next day, like
yeah.
It just creates more stress and again probably rises your cortisol a little bit. And then the blue light also affects the melatonin production. So if there's one tip I would give to improve sleep is aim to put your phone away earlier than you normally do, and then have one night routine thing that you like to do.
Love it. All right. Diet, sleep.
Let's talk about endocrine disruptors. I want to quickly touch on this because I think this is like underrated. And I'm going to say one more time, progress over perfection, because we're all human here. But basically, the typical things that have endocrine disruptors are like some household products, like that have a lot of like just a lot of like toxic ingredients. So for example, if like you're cleaning your house, like one thing that I know like doesn't have any harmful chemicals is just like plain like rubbing alcohol, like that's fine to like clean surfaces, or a couple of different wipes. Like there's a company called Branch Basics that has very like toxic free cleaning products. So that's one thing. The other thing is cosmetics.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, literally like so many cosmetics have so many toxic substances, and a lot of brands that like I really like, or like I have liked their products for a long time. So when I learned about this, I was like, I need to prioritize more toxic free brands.
If you just search like toxic free brands, is it obvious, or did you kind of have to dive into ingredients?
If you look up toxic free, like that's the best label, like to identify, because a lot of brands will say they're clean, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they are actually toxic free.
Yeah.
So toxic free is the best. Or if they say like no parabens, like no fragrances, sulfates, like those kinds of toxic substances. Like for example, I love MAC. Like I just love a MAC lipstick. Like I love the MAC mascara, but I know it's not a clean brand. So like sometimes I probably will use my MAC mascara, but that's why I'm saying like it's not about being perfect, but about just like the daily things that you do. Like also skincare. Skincare is something that's important to be mindful of. One brand that I know is really good, because I recently listened to a podcast about this, is Drunk Elephant. That brand, super, super clean. A more accessibly priced one is Verst. That brand is also very clean.
That's funny. We have both of those in our drawer downstairs. I think,
number one, I have super sensitive skin, and I'm allergic to vitamin E, so that like takes out so many skincare products. Also, Drunk Elephant, I've tried to use them so many times, and my skin is way too sensitive for it, and it's a little, no matter what I use.
I think their products are pretty intense.
Even the moisturizer. Is like my skin, I'll get so irritated.
If you've heard of Dr. Dennis Gross, I think that brand is also pretty good. And then I recently got sent another brand that I use today, actually. It's called Ghost Democracy, and their ingredients are really good.
I was gonna say, your skin looks so glowy and like,
thank you. I don't even have anything aside from skincare on my face. Yeah.
That's so impressive. My skin has been feeling so dull and dry and like breakouty recently. Not fun.
What do you think is causing it?
That's the thing. I don't necessarily know, but I never really dealt with acne until I feel like this past year it's been flaring up so much more. And so I'm like, I don't know if it, like, I feel like it is a hormonal thing, just because my hormones were so out of whack and now my cycle's starting to be regular and I'm like dealing with more acne. So I feel like there's a correlation with hormones, but I don't really know what I would do differently. I don't know.
Yeah. I think that the things that I would suggest to start with is what we already talked about.
Yeah.
So looking into just like the quality of the food that you're eating, like how much processed food are you eating? Like things, for example, like protein powder, like those products, like sometimes the ingredients can be a little bit trickier. So like how clean are the ingredients? Like, is there a long ass list of ingredients or is it more minimal? Mm-hmm. Like, that's one thing I would suggest, like, starting with. And then I think, I mean, both of you guys like eat super healthy for the most part.
Dairy. So, I've had times where I haven't eaten dairy, but recently I've been like very free flowing with dairy.
Could be that too. I mean, I think that inflammation, right, a lot of the times is what results in the skin issues. So the skin is just a reflection of like what's going on inside. So I would say it could either be from like inflammatory foods, like we're talking about, just like looking up like inflammatory foods, like the biggest thing is sugar, like refined sugar, or alcohol, or it could also be like just something in your gut, like maybe doing like a gut specific test where you can identify if like there's any like pathogens, like GI stuff going on that you wouldn't know without a test.
Yeah, like everything is hormones, everything.
It really is. It really is. And then one thing I also want to touch on that is so important is the liver. The liver is amazing, and it's something that is barely talked about, I feel like, in the health space, but it's something that I started learning about a few months ago, and I've been really prioritizing liver awareness and like doing things that are good for my liver. So basically, some context on the liver. What the liver does in our body is it detoxifies our body. So there's two detoxification pathways. There's the liver and there's the kidneys. The kidneys is more for water-soluble toxins. So, like, whatever comes out in your pee pretty much is filtered out. Like, the kidneys help in that filtering out. But anything that is fat-soluble is filtered out by your liver. So that means hormones. Mm-hmm. The liver filters out every single hormone in your body. It also filters out external toxins. So, like I was describing, stuff that can come from the endocrine disruptors, which I didn't go into, but also can include like if you put all your groceries or like all your food in plastic containers, like especially when the food is hot, like that can be an endocrine disruptor. Some pans also have endocrine disruptors. So that's something else that your liver would filter out. And then also things like caffeine, alcohol, any like smoke that comes from like any drugs, like or like weed, or from like cigarettes, like nicotine, like that's also filtered out by your liver. And then certain foods, especially fattier foods. So like, as I said, it's fat soluble, right? So like oil and water don't mix, fat and water don't mix. That's why the liver and the kidney do like complementary functions, but they're for different toxins. So ultimately, these toxins, for them to be actually excreted from your body, has to be through poop. Like that's how they are, like, go out of your body. But for you to have like healthy pooping, you need fiber. That's why fiber is so important, because fiber binds to these like fat soluble toxic substances and hormones further down the line in the detoxification process, and then they leave your body through poop. That's why having like pooping every day and like going to the bathroom every day is really, really essential for your liver. And so the best ways to support your liver, like for like more tangible tips, is one of the things, again, eating fiber. That's essential. So making sure you eat enough of that. Also, a couple other things you can do is being mindful of your caffeine and your alcohol consumption. That's essential, because that's going to put less, I guess, stress on your liver. And then the other thing I would mention is dandelion tea can be really good to help your liver. Dry brushing, if you guys have ever heard of dry brushing.
I actually have one, and I don't do it consistently, but I
enjoy it a couple times a week, like before you shower, can be really great for your liver. And then the other thing is about the liver that's interesting is that the liver is always gonna prioritize excreting external substances, external toxins. So whatever comes from caffeine, alcohol, these environmental toxins before your hormones. So the way that I heard this described is, think of a busy highway. Like a busy highway during rush hour, the cars are moving. They're like moving, but like kind of slowly, but they're kind of like, you're moving.
Yeah.
Then it comes an ambulance all the cars move to the side so the ambulance can pass through, and then there's traffic and everything kind of stops before it goes back to normal. So like the car movement is going to be delayed by the ambulance because that's the priority. Mm-hmm. That's what happens when there's these external toxins and things that the liver is processing and burdened with. So prioritizing reducing those external toxins can then help your body prioritize excreting the hormones. Because if your body is not getting to, like, if your liver is just, like, running on, like, 24/7, just, like, constantly trying to excrete, like, oh, my God, there's so much caffeine in my system. Like, oh, my gosh, there's all these external processed foods. Or, oh, my God, like, she's eating fries every day. Like, I need to remove all this these toxins. Like, the hormones come last. And then the hormones, instead of being excreted in the right amounts, they get recirculated in your body, in your bloodstream. And so that was is what causes hormonal imbalances, because you're going to have more quantity of one hormone than it's supposed to be in balance with the other hormones. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that was such a good description.
So that's what truly causes the hormonal imbalances, is when the hormones are not truly excreted and they're just constantly being recirculated in your blood.
Wow, that's so interesting. So then... cycle syncing, because I feel like you've given so much great information about supporting hormone health in general. The concept of cycle syncing is that those things can kind of shift at different points in your cycle. How does that come into play?
Yeah, the core of cycle syncing is that women operate on a 28 plus day cycle. If you have an irregular cycle, then it's probably a little bit of a different number, but overall, while men have the same hormonal cycle every 24 hours, women have it in a span of a month or more. Yeah. And so because we have these hormonal fluctuations, our hormonal system in general is just a little bit more sensitive. And that's why I would say for women especially, though for men it's also extremely important, like it's equally important, but for women it might aggravate some symptoms, is all these principles that we talked about. Balancing your blood sugar, reducing your stress, making sure that you're eating balanced meals, detoxifying your liver, all of that is essential for women. But cycle syncing is basically understanding how your cycle works, how the hormones change throughout the cycle, so that then you can make lifestyle shifts that are not very crazy or anything like that to support your cycle, to align with your cycle. And then so that you can feel better, you can work with your body instead of working against your body.
Mm-hmm.
And the health of your cycle is like a barometer, like a thermometer of your overall health.
Yeah.
Our menstrual cycle is a really big indication to like how healthy our body is as a woman.
What are those different phases of the cycle? And what are kind of the different ways that your body reacts to them?
Yeah. So I recently made a YouTube video actually describing all of this in depth. So I can send you guys a link if you want to leave it in the description also, but I'll give like a little crash course. Okay. So basically there are four phases of the cycle. The first phase is the menstrual phase. That's when you have your period. Then it's a follicular phase, which is right after. So, you know, like after you got your period, like when you have your period, you're a little bit more tired. Like that's considered your inner winter. Think of winter, right? Like you tend to stay inside more. You're more like, let me drink like my hot cocoa and just like lay in the couch. Like that's your period. Then you enter your inner spring. Then you enter your follicular phase. Follicular phase, you start having more energy. Then you start, you know, being more in this like outward energy, more ideas, more energy to work out, etc. Your follicular phase leads up to your ovulation. So the ovulatory phase is short, but it's the end of your follicular phase. That's when you're fertile. That's when your body is, if you are ovulating, the egg is basically released to be fertilized. If the egg is not fertilized, then it basically disintegrates. Like your uterine lining essentially gets ready to then be shed after when you get your period. But before that happens, you enter something called the luteal phase. And the luteal phase is basically when your body starts creating this like environment that is safe for a baby to basically become a baby. But if not, then that's why like your hormones drop and then you have your period. So that's like the overall vibe of the cycle. And then just tying it back to the seasons, which is what I talk about in the YouTube video, your menstrual phase is your, which is when you have your period, is your inner winter. And then you can think about every phase being a season. So then it's your inner spring. Then it's your inner summer. When you ovulate, that's your summer. Like, think of like summer, right? We were talking about this in the other episode. Like, summer is like everything's more fun and bright and you're tan and you're at the beach and you're walking around and like you want to socialize. Like, that's essentially like the lead up to your ovulation. And then afterwards, like where we're at now, like the weather starts to cool down and things start to slow a little bit more and you start to maybe go back to school and to like productivity, and like that's your fall, like that's your autumn, that's the lead up to your period. So it's about like slowing down a little bit, especially like in small ways, so that you're preparing your body to then shed and have a period.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like the feel for the phases. And then there's also the hormonal component. Mm-hmm. The three main hormones that are important are estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone. Estrogen is the main hormone in the first part of the cycle, so the spring and the summer. And it's the highest when you're ovulating, like peaks. And this is why, like, in the beginning of your cycle, at least for me, I feel a lot more energized when I wake up to go lift weights or to like go work out. And then workouts might feel a little bit more difficult to do in the end part of my cycle. And that's because when you pass ovulation, you enter what's called your luteal phase. And that's when progesterone is the star of the show. Progesterone is the dominant hormone then. And progesterone is different. Progesterone is like, let's get ready for a baby. Let's like create a cozy environment. Like, that's progesterone. It's like, I don't want to be the star of the show. Like, mm-hmm. I just want to like nurture myself. And that's why nurturing yourself and taking that extra self-care leading up to your period is the key to avoiding those really bad period symptoms. So like, if people have very, like, if anyone listening, like if you have badass cramps, horrible cramps when you get your period, or if you just like feel awful leading up to your period, ask yourself, am I like doing high impact HIIT workouts where I'm jumping up and down the week before my period? How much alcohol are you drinking leading up to your period? How much caffeine are you drinking leading up to your period? How much sleep are you getting? All of those things are lifestyle things you can pay attention to reduce those bad PMS and period symptoms. Yeah. So that's kind of cycle thinking, like very, very summarized.
Mm-hmm.
And I could obviously dive into it a lot more, but that's the gist.
Yeah. So you're saying for anyone listening, like the maybe most important place to start is, you know, that week before your period, giving a little more nurture to your body.
100%. Mm-hmm. That's super important. And then the other thing I will just say too is that when it came to getting my cycle to be more regular, these were the things that I did.
Okay.
So everything that I talked about in this episode was what helped me achieve a regular cycle.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the sleep, especially the balanced meals, reducing how much alcohol I was drinking was really huge. I'm not saying like cut out alcohol. Like I like Marg. Like I like, you know, going out and dancing and having a couple of drinks. But when I was in college, I used to overdrink. Like I was drinking like 3-4 nights a week, like multiple drinks every time.
Mm-hmm.
Liver was like, what are you doing to me? So basically I think those are the three biggest things. And then when it comes to your workouts, I know you guys like lifting.
Mm-hmm.
Muscle training and resistance training and like lifting weights is actually one of the best workouts that you can do because you can do it all cycle long. Like it's a type of workout because you're not really jumping and like putting a lot of impact.
Yeah.
You're building muscle and that's really important. Like having muscle is super important to having ovulation, to like a healthy ovulation. And also overall to like support and the reason for that is because when you build muscle and you work on like reducing a little bit of fat in storage in your body, that contributes to like a healthy ovulation every single cycle. And that said, there are so many workouts you can do, but the only thing I would say I would avoid is very intense high impact like HIIT specific workouts where you're jumping a lot and like putting a lot of impact on your joints and like running and that kind of stuff leading up to your period. This is the only thing I would say. Yeah. And like when you have your period as well in the beginning, like in the first couple of days.
Cool. Okay. Well, similarly, I know in the last episode and in all of our episodes, we like to ask what a typical day in your life looks like. So we've been over your typical day. How about with cycle syncing, with the addition of cycle syncing and thinking and living through that? What is a typical day in your life look like with cycle syncing?
I would say, what does a typical day look like at like the point in your cycle that you're at now, like on your period now, and kind of how that differs from what your maybe otherwise day would look like?
Yeah, 100%. Actually, I remember in the last episode when you guys asked me this, I think I said kind of like, I don't really have a routine right now. I think I was kind of like, I don't remember what I said, but I think I was at a point where I wasn't having a very structured morning routine. I was just kind of like, I listen to my body every day.
Yeah.
But for context too, this year I've traveled like the most that I've ever traveled in my life. Mm-hmm. And so it was really hard to have a routine. But now that I'm back in New York and I've been back for a little over a month, I've been really working on a little bit more consistency with a routine. So I actually can basically say like I kind of have a routine that I enjoy. And so usually what that looks like, there's two ways. One way, which is what I've tended to do most days, is I wake up. This is most like weekdays. Weekends is a little different. Yeah. But it's like I wake up around like 7, and then I would meditate for like 5 minutes, 10 minutes, however long I can, if most days. And then I would have like a banana and like a small like espresso. And I would go to the gym in my building. I would do my workout. I've been doing like the sweat app. I don't know if you guys know that app. There's like a power sweat app, which is like lifting. So I've been doing that. Before I weight lift, I also do a little bit of walking on the treadmill. And then I'd come home, I'd shower, and then I'd make my breakfast and kind of move through my day. The other alternative would be waking up earlier, doing a little bit of work, and then going to, like having a breakfast, like a full breakfast, and then going to the gym like around 10 or 11 because I work for myself and I have that flexibility, and then coming back and having lunch. So those are the two kind of morning routines, I guess. But when it comes to cycle syncing, the biggest shifts I do is when it comes closer to my period, I would reduce the like heaviness of the weights that I would be lifting. So I wouldn't be like trying to increase, like, or if I'm lifting 10s this week, like next week let me lift 20. Like if I'm like nearing my period, I probably would lift 5. Like I would not be putting pressure on myself to hit those like I think it's called PRs, right? Like to be increasing my weights. That's something I would just be mindful of. And maybe a couple more of the days I would do just like very long walks on the treadmill instead of lifting. And leading up to this current period, I also incorporated a little bit more like workout classes. So I like did solid core one day. Two days ago I went to like another little like resistance training, kind of like Pilates class. So instead of lifting or like running or something like that, then I just did those kinds of workouts. And I was more mindful of like not having as much coffee. So I had a little bit more matcha than coffee, which are two very simple shifts that I made, but it doesn't have to be anything very crazy as long as you're living already a lifestyle that's balancing for your hormones. You're already supporting your body, and the cycle syncing, I think, applies a little bit more sometimes to my social plans. So honoring if I am in my period or before my period, just like having a cooking night at home with friends instead of like going out dancing. Just honoring what I need socially a little bit more.
Cool.
Yeah, I feel like I talked so much in this episode.
No, that's exactly what I wanted, though, because this is what you know about.
Aww,
and I'm like, I don't have anything to add. Like, this all sounds great. I'm just absorbing right now.
I love you guys. But I'm glad that it was informational.
Let's talk about a little bit your just quick plug for your cycle syncing course.
Yes. Amazing. So if anyone listening is just interested in diving a little bit deeper into cycle syncing, I'd say check out that YouTube video that I mentioned. Mm-hmm. I will send you guys the link. It's just like the most recent video I posted on my channel. Just look up the Carolina Lifestyle or Carolina Salazar on YouTube. And then also my course, Cycle Syncing 101, it basically runs down like everything. So from the mindset that helps you have cycle syncing as a part of your life and the mindset that would hinder that, mm-hmm. then it goes into like the hormones more in depth. And then I dive into each phase of the cycle. I talk about the food component, like how to balance your meals. I talk about the stress component, like all the different things that could be causing you stress and how you can address them and improve your stress levels and all of that. So I also have a module at the end that's about when things go wrong. So if you have a missing period ever, if you struggle with irregular cycles, all of that, I also touch on that in the course. So it's pretty much a self-paced course. I will give 40% off to everyone in your community with the code just like GWG.
Oh yeah, GWG is great too.
If you guys want to use that code, I'll create that for you guys. 40% off. And then also, if anyone listening just wants more support one-on-one, I know sometimes like bioindividuality is real and everyone's so different. So if you want free access to my course and also one-on-one support, then DM me on Instagram and we can chat about my program and if it's a good fit for us to work together. So that's something else too. And then if not, if you just want to connect, my Instagram is The Carolina Lifestyle. And so is my TikTok and my website, thecarolinalifestyle.com.
Yes. And then Carolina has a podcast as well.
Yes. My podcast is Luna the Podcast. I'm working on some big things and it might not be called Luna the Podcast anymore. So we'll just stay in the loop.
Okay.
But as of now, you can still find it at Luna. Sounds anywhere good. You listen to podcasts. Yeah.
And all of that will be linked below too. So yes. Everything we just talked about, feel free to just go to the show notes, click on over and check out all of that great stuff. But thank you so much for taking the time to hang out with us. And I loved that.
Yeah, I love you guys.
If you're in college or high school and are looking to build your credit up, then the Ambition Card by College Ave is for you. This is a card that helps you safely build a positive credit history while you are in college.
We talk a lot about financial literacy and making sound financial decisions. Cue literally every conversation we've had on dupes and making smart finance decisions ever. And building a solid credit history helps so much, especially when you can get ahead while you're in college.
The Ambition Card helps you prepare for post-grad living with no late fees, no interest charges, and no credit check to qualify. Making payments on time will help positively impact and build your credit score.
The Ambition Card is specifically designed to help you, not hurt you, and you may not realize how important building a positive credit history while in college is right now, but I promise once you've graduated and are looking into renting your own apartment, opening a new credit card, starting a business, asking for a loan for anything, car insurance, getting a new car, your credit history sticks with you and has the opportunity to get you good deals and loans in the future if it's good, which is why I think this Ambition Card is such an amazing opportunity to get ahead of building your credit and start strong.
It's easy to get started. You can transfer money to your account and even set your own spending limit too. You've got money goals and the Ambition Card will help get you there. Check it out at ambitioncard.com. The Ambition Card is issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. Results may vary. Credit history is impacted by a number of factors.